podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free book of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. Hello, everyone. I'm Jen, and today I'm joined by Kyle, Marima, and Karen. Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Whoa.
Oh, hey.
You can tell it's a Sunday. Once again, we're all a little punchy tonight, or today, or Marima, it's Monday for you, isn't it?
Monday morning. Woohoo.
Woo-woo. All right.
I don't have to go to work today. This is the best day ever.
I know. See? So let's get started with today's fantastic book hype. We're going to talk about, because you guys have asked for it, many of you, we're going to talk about some adult books that we read. We're going to talk about some standalones that we like and all sorts of really fun things like that. So we're going to get started with Book Bites. And this suggestion came from Melissa. And it says, could you guys recommend some of your favorite standalones? I feel like all I read are series these days, and I'm looking for a quick read. Aren't we all? There are days you just want to read one book and not have to worry about the five other books you're going to have to read later, or wait for the book to finish or the story arc to finish. So we definitely understand, Melissa. Karen, do you want to start off with your suggestions?
Sure. I know we've all probably mentioned standalones before on the podcast, so these are ones that I don't think I've brought up before, but one of them is Firebringer by David Clement Davies, and this is a book about a deer who is sort of like special. He's got a special mark on his forehead, and he's supposed to like save the herd and that sort of thing. And it sounds kind of silly, but it's not. It's actually really, really cool how he's written the story and how everything sort of works out in the end. And another one is called Code Talker by Joseph Bruschak. And this is about Navajo Indians who were recruited by the army to use their native language as a code during one of the wars. I'm sorry, I don't remember which one it is. But that one's also really cool, and it's a pretty quick read. It's fairly short.
Okay, and Kyle, you want to tell us yours?
Yes, for the standalone, I was actually thinking about it. I like the Black Tattoo. I don't remember the author's name. I'm looking at it on my bookshelf, but I can't reach over. It's about this tattoo that takes over this teenager's body because he's like, oh man, I wish I had like cool powers. And it's like this evil kind of entity, and his best friend is trying to convince him that like this is not a cool thing and that he needs to figure out how to get rid of it. But he's like overwhelmed with the fact that now he has a bunch of powers, and his best friend is trying to find people who can help get this thing off of him.
Excellent. And Marima, how about you?
Well, I like that Karen chose things that she hasn't mentioned before, because I'm just going to choose things that I always talk about, and hopefully this will finally encourage people to read them.
Are you going to suggest what I think you're going to suggest?
I don't know, probably. I'm going to suggest, if you look at the Google Doc, it's actually written down, so there's not much suspense.
Well, my bad.
I'm going to suggest On the Jellico Road by Melina Marchetta, which is like one of the most beautiful books I've ever read in my life. It's a coming of age book. It's like a boarding school book. It's a mystery book. It's got cool like crossing timelines and things. It's really great. So I'm going to recommend that. I'm going to recommend To Kill a Mockingbird by Harper Lee, which is another one of my favorite books, and you know, more of an adult book, I guess, but just like really, really beautiful, beautifully written. Even though of the subject matter it deals with is like quite confronting. And I'm going to recommend The Shadow of the Wind by Carlos Ruiz Zafón, which is another mystery kind of book set in Barcelona about, you know, the love of books and the importance of books. And I'm going to recommend The Book Thief, which I'm assuming is what Kyle was waiting for. But you guys know how I feel about The Book Thief already, so I don't need to like go into detail except to say if you don't read it, you're crazy and I might kill you.
No
pressure.
I'm all for that. That's fine.
Of course,
man,
you are.
Here we go.
I really want to episode to kill a goldfish because that's what you're talking about before we started this. Just FYI.
We, do not condone such behavior. I'm still mad at you, Kyle.
Does apparently.
I almost killed my goldfish for a little bit of background, but instead of it was actually a betta fish, and instead of killing it, I gave it to a friend. So
you're not making yourself sound any better.
Hey, hey, I didn't kill it. That's the main point of the story.
But you thought about it seriously for a long time.
I did.
You Googled how to do it, which is a little frightening. Yeah. I'm sorry. So just imagine now somebody like the NSA checking your computer out. Ooh, he's starting in the early stages of offing his pets.
Yes.
That's a concern.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness. Well, for me, back to like the topic of actual books, rather than Kyle's crazy goldfish obsession. My suggestions would be Past Perfect by Layla Sales. It's this really great kind of fun contemporary novel set at like a almost like a summer camp vibe, but it's actually set at a reenactment like place. So like it's a historical reenactment place, and there are two camps set across from each other, and one is like the colonial times and one is like the Civil War times, so they have a rivalry. It's just really, really fun and entertaining. Graffiti Moon by Kath Crowley is another really great story. And
I
the mental
love that.
Yeah, it is really great. Oh, and it's
so
just,
good.
Yeah, so enjoyable. And then Mansfield Park by Jane Austen, because I think that's a Jane Austen book that most people kind of like overlook and don't take the time to read. And then The Dead Travel Fast by Deanna Raeburn. And I'm going to talk about Deanna Raeburn a lot later, so you'll hear much more about her later on. But that's I love her writing. Her writing is fantastic. She writes in the historical time period, kind of late 1800s, and she's just fantastic. She writes a mystery and just all of her stuff is mystery-based, and it's just fantastic. I absolutely adore her writing. So that's something else. And The Dead Travel Fast is a standalone. Later on, the stuff I'll tell you about is a series. So there you have it. That's my standalone suggestions. Yoo-hoo! Yay for standalones!
I'm just going to go back slightly to one of the ones I said. The Shadow of the Wind, it is a standalone, but there are two accompanying novels, but you don't have to read them, but like, if you read it and you enjoy the world, there are two others that are set, and they just have, like, one or two crossover characters, but it's not necessary to read the others to, like, understand what's going on. So, you know, just if you're interested, if you like it, there is more. So that's nice.
Very important to know.
And you will like it, because it's awesome.
And because Marima suggested it, I mean, really.
Yeah, and my suggestion is basically a threat, let's be honest.
We're going to have to work on those people skills a little bit. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One audiobook to consider is The Discovery of Witches by Deborah Harkness. It is a fantastic novel, and the reader for this audiobook is just brilliant. Like, you listen to it, and it's totally you totally get pulled into the story, kind of similar like you do with Jim Dale. So I highly suggest this book, not only for the storyline, but for the reader as well, which is really important when you have an audiobook. So again, that's The Discovery of Witches by Deborah Harkness. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. That's audiblepodcast.com/bookhype. All right, so let's get on to our main discussion. And today's main discussion is going to be, when I'm not reading YA, I read, dun, 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 fill in the blank. And this suggestion comes from Rachel, who said she would love an episode of us to talk for us to talk about adult fiction or nonfiction. So here it is. We're going to talk all about it. So we're going to talk a little bit about how much we spend reading, like, YA versus non-YA. Do you guys spend a lot of time reading non-YA? I know for me, I read mostly YA. Like, the majority of my time is spent reading YA. A little bit of time is spent reading adult. But if I find something I really like, then I'm in it. But it's hard for me to find adult novels that I really like. How about you guys?
I do spend a lot of time reading non-YA. And probably I've only started reading... I've always enjoyed YA, but I think it's become more a focus for me since I've been writing for Hyperball, because that's mainly the books that we review, YA books. So at the moment, most of the fiction that I'm reading is YA, but I do read a lot of nonfiction. And, you know, when I get time, there are lots of adult fiction books that I like to read as well. So for me, maybe at the moment, it's more of like a 50-50 split, I would say, but it definitely used to be a lot more weighted towards non-YA.
Karen or Kyle, do you guys have a...
I actually read a lot of YA. I'm like struggling trying to pick a book that's like non, that's adult and nonfiction for my choices later on in the discussion. So a lot of my time is spent reading YA. And sometimes I'd occasionally like pick up or go into the adult novel section just to see like what they have. But when I walk into like Barnes and Noble, the first area I go to would be like teen fiction, just because I feel like such a child on the inside. So
I would, yeah, I read a lot of young adult. I would say I probably used to read more nonfiction when I was in school for obvious reasons, although I do have a lot of reference books, and I think I talked about this a little bit on the last podcast that we did, but I sort of have all of these reference books that I don't necessarily like read, but they're there for, you know, if I want some information or if I just want to read a chapter or something like that. I don't really come across a whole lot of adult books, although recently, since I've been reading a lot of the classics and stuff, those obviously count. But I would say definitely a very high majority would be young adult fiction.
Yeah, see, when I go into a bookstore, I definitely go to the adult section before I go to the YA section. But I think that's just because that's where most things are. I don't know. That's usually a bigger section. Like when I think I have a pretty even split because I basically will read anything that sounds interesting. It doesn't matter to me if it's like YA or adult or nonfiction or whatever. Like if I see a book that looks interesting and I read the blurb and that sounds cool, then I'll read it, like regardless of kind of the demographic it's aimed at, I suppose.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, Marima. I just sometimes it's harder for me to find adult books that aren't like, sometimes I find adult books to be a little pretentious and sometimes they think a little too much of themselves or that they have to be too deep or too this or too that. So I think that's why I tend to read more YA. Like when I was in college the first time, I used to read a lot of adult fiction. Like that was where I primarily shopped and bought books. But as I got older, it actually switched and I reverted to young adult, which sounds really strange, but I kind of got tired of reading about, you know, women in their late 20s and 30s trying to find a guy or whatever it was that the books were primarily about that I was coming across, because it got to be repetitive and it just got to be a little, I don't know, a little too much. I just wanted something lighter and something that actually had a story to tell rather than kind of, I don't know. It's hard to explain why I don't care for adult books that much, but it just, I guess it depends on the kind of book as well. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And also I think in some ways there's a lot more like creativity in young adult fiction because it's, in some ways, it's not taken so seriously. So the authors can be a bit more innovative with their writing. And so you get more diversity in young adult than you might in like typical adult fiction, which like you said, can sometimes be a bit pretentious. It can take itself a bit too seriously. Whereas I don't think that you get that in the young adult world, which is always a nice thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's the thing with young adult is that they can kind of take it wherever they want to go with it. And no one's going to kind of look down at you and be like, oh, you're not a serious writer because, you know, so I don't know that I kind of do get that vibe from that. What do you guys think, Karen and Kyle?
Yeah, I agree. I think that a lot of adult books are really kind of dense and they, like young adult seems more condensed to me and the story's a little bit more streamlined a lot of the times. Like I started an adult book not that long ago by Rochelle Mead and it just wasn't, I couldn't really get into it. I still haven't finished it because I feel like it just takes forever for it to kind of get where it's going. Whereas if you write for teenagers, and this is also true for like middle grade books, you kind of have to condense that story down into the important parts to kind of keep your audience engaged, since a lot of teenagers aren't into reading all that much. So I think that's why I enjoy young adult a lot more than adult fiction.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think with adult fiction, there's a lot of stuff that I don't necessarily care about in a novel, whereas in young adult, it's easier to get into it because they get right to the meat of the story, I feel. Plus, I feel like, speaking, like, publicity-wise, like, I feel like more adults read young adult fiction, then like young adults would like happen to like walk into like an adult section of the store and be like, oh, that sounds interesting. Like aiming your book at young adults might even get you more publicity than necessarily if you'd aimed it at like adults. But I don't know how correct that is.
Or yeah, was that completely wrong? Well, no, I don't think it's a matter of aiming it. I think right now, like one of the you know, one of the larger areas that are selling are the young adult books. Like it just, because you have a higher crossover of adults reading young adult than you do of teens reading adult. I think that's a fair statement to make. So you have a much higher crossover rate, which means you're getting your book into more of a diverse group of people's hands. But I wouldn't say marketing it has anything to do with who you choose to write for. I mean, I think that you have to be careful with that one because people write what.
So if you guys were curious about why we always talk about young adult fiction on Book Hype, it's just because it's what Hypebull mostly covers and what we all have a very common interest in, but that doesn't mean that we are like excluding discussion from all adult fiction. So like if you ever have a book, like an adult book that you want us to discuss, just let us know, like contact us, and then we'd be more than happy to like consider taking it in and making a discussion or even like a part of our book club thing where we do a whole discussion about it on a podcast. So like just because we talk about young adult fiction doesn't mean that we are excluding all possibilities of adult fiction. It's just a heads up, guys.
Yeah, and we often give like adult and nonfiction recommendations when we're talking about sort of what we're reading each week. So even if we might not have a full discussion dedicated to like an adult novel kind of every week or something in adult fiction, I mean, lots of the things we're talking about in publishing crossover anyway, like a lot of the things we talked about on the last episode with like women in publishing, obviously that's like applicable to all kinds of publishing. And, you know, you can often get like some adult recommendations from there, or you can ask us. You can always just ask us if you would like to have some more recommendations outside of the young adult sphere. That is totally okay as well. All right. So let's talk about some adult fiction to get started with. I'm kind of interested. What sort of genres do you guys read? Like, obviously there's literary fiction, which for people who may not know is kind of what Jen was talking about before, which is fiction that's considered to have a literary merit, which often verges into the somewhat pretentious. Obviously, there's like romance, science fiction, fantasy, sort of general fiction, mysteries. You know, we've got a bit of everything. So I'm sure this is kind of in line with the YA that you read. But what do you tend to go towards? Or do you have some favorite books that you go?
Well, definitely like science fiction and fantasy are my top go-tos for adult fiction. And even just like Game of Thrones is adult fiction, isn't it? Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like stuff like that in all that genres, no matter if it's young adult or adult, is basically what calls to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Science Karen? Fiction, fantasy, general fiction, you know, mysteries, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I definitely always have had a soft spot for like science fiction, fantasy. So obviously, there's Game of Thrones. We've got Lord of the Rings is an adult series for sure. Another author I really like is Douglas Adams, who wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I don't know if you guys have read that or seen the movie.
I have not seen either, read or seen.
It's like hilariously funny. It's so good. So I definitely recommend that. Also, Neil Gaiman is a fantastic author who does both adult and young adult fiction. So, you know, he's a cool one to check out. And Terry Pratchett does a lot of fantasy. I think I've talked about Terry Pratchett before. He and Neil Gaiman wrote a book together called Good Omens, which is like one of my favorite books. So, you know, if you're interested in science fiction, fantasy, those are some ones to check out. What about you, Karen? What are your like favorite adult books? What are your go-to books or series?
I don't have a whole lot because, like I said, I mostly read young adult, but I really like the Robert Langdon series by Dan Brown, which I think a lot of people are sort of on the fence about. You kind of either like them or you don't. I know some people who really, really hate them because his facts aren't always completely accurate, and for somebody who's really into history and that sort of thing, like, that could be a really big turnoff. I don't know if it's right or not, as far as like where certain things are and that sort of thing. So it doesn't bother me, but I really like the stories. I think they're really cool. And it's one of the first adult books that I've actually read. And so they kind of stick with me. But The Time Traveler's Wife is, oh my God, so good. I see you have that down too, Marima. It is an amazing book. And I was really hesitant about it because I was like, I don't know. I mean, it seems cool, but, you know, what is this really going to be like? And it was awesome. And another one I really like is Sundays at Tiffany's, which is by James Patterson. And James Patterson is kind of give or take for me. I've read other books by him that I really didn't care for. But Sundays at Tiffany's is really, really good. And it's sort of like nothing else I've ever read by him. It's not a standard James Patterson book. So I would definitely highly recommend that, whether you usually like his stuff or not.
Time Traveler's Wife, I totally agree with. That is a beautiful book. And I think she's a fantastic author. She wrote another one, Her Fearful Symmetry, I think is what it's called, or Her Something Symmetry. I think it's Fearful. I'm going to go with that, which was good. It wasn't, I didn't like it as much as Time Traveler's Wife, but it was still really well written and really interesting. And Time Traveler's Wife, I cannot recommend enough. That is, I think if you enjoy kind of, it's got like a mild science fiction element, obviously, because they travel in time, but that's not really the main like point of the thing. It's kind of the device to explore the characters, and it's so beautiful, and it's really clever as well. And like the first time you read it, you're sort of wondering how all the parts fit together, and then when you get to the end, you're like, oh, it makes so much sense, and now I'm like devastated in my soul.
Yeah,
Kyle, you'd like it. Kyle, you would really like it.
Oh, I'm actually really interested now. Isn't there a movie? Yeah. Like, didn't they make it a movie?
Yeah, it's a pretty bad movie. It's got Rachel McAdams in it. And is it Rachel McAdams?
Yeah.
Yeah, and which guy? I can't remember.
No, I have no idea.
I have no idea. Some white guy. Yeah, don't watch the... Yeah, some white guy. It looks like a Nicholas Sparks movie. Like, that's how they...
I thought it was... I really thought it was a Nicholas Sparks thing.
I don't think Nicholas Sparks does time travel, but if he did, it would basically be that story. that's really cool. Although, Karen, you can add one more person to your list of people that really hate the Dan Brown books, because right here.
Oh, I love those Dan Brown books.
I was actually going to ask you about this because, like, I have a friend who is, he's a historian, basically. And so he hates these books with a passion because a lot of the things, like, he'll play something in France and how he describes how Robert Langdon gets there is completely wrong. Like, it's factually incorrect. And because I don't know that, I've never picked up on it. And I just read it for the stories because I do like the stories. But I can see why some people would really hate his books. But why don't you like them? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, there are two parts to it. Like, the first one is I think I've read two or three of his books. I've read The Da Vinci Code and, like, The Angels and Demons, and I think, one other one that he's written but has a different character in it. And they're very formulaic, and sometimes I can get into that with an author that I like. If I like the writing style, I kind of don't mind, because it can be a bit of, you know, just like, don't have to think super deeply about everything you read. But the combination of that plus, like the factual inaccuracies of like the archaeological and historical things that are in his books are very frustrating when you're reading them. When you're reading it and you're like, that's just not even true. What are you talking about? and I think it's more frustrating because his books are so prominent that a lot of people think that they are based on like real things, and he's, you know, kind of twisted them into this story. But when you're reading it, you're like, God, is someone reading this and thinking that this is true? And like, not even, you know, the ridiculous elements of it, just like the basic facts of it, is it does take you out of the story if you're reading it and you're like, that's, what are you talking about, Dan Brown?
Like, I have like no idea what is true and what's false in those novels, and so like when I'm reading them, I'm like, oh, this is great, I really love this, like I love history and all that jazz. So it's just like, I love Dan Brown, but like, what's like a fact that's wrong in one of the Dan Brown books that's just so wrong that you're like, oh,
like the Da Vinci Code. what he's saying about, you know, a lot of like the Last Supper painting and stuff like that, like that's not true.
Yeah. I mean, basically most of it isn't true. It's a fine story. Like, I don't particularly like the writing style of it, so, you know, I can't really get into it. I don't really have anything against historical fiction. I don't read a huge amount of it myself. But, you know, like the, what is her name? Philippa Gregory, who writes all of those books about, like, you know, Anne Boleyn and stuff. And some people are like, just love those books. And I can see why, but when I read them, I find it difficult to read them when I'm like, this isn't real. What are you talking about? So yeah, I think when they deal with more prominent characters, that is always kind of a down point for me that I can't quite get into.
A lot of my favorite adult fiction is, I actually like historical fiction, oddly, because I don't like history. Like, if I had to take a history class, it's like, someone's going to sit and torture me and pull out my fingernails. That's how I feel about history
what?
Class.
History yeah, is oh, no. awesome.
Yeah, I agree. History is
no.
great. Oh,
if
man.
It comes in a fictional novel, it's amazing. If it comes in me sitting in a class for it, it's never going to happen. I don't know why. I don't know what that's about. Because I like reading about the time periods, but I don't necessarily like reading all the facts about them. So for me, I like historical fiction.
We just lost Jen for a second, but while we're trying to get her back, Kyle, did you have any other books you wanted to add?
Oh,
for
adult fiction? Well, like, I was, like, trying to think. I literally cannot find a single book on my shelf that is adult fiction, other than the Game of Thrones books, but I feel like everyone and their mother is already reading those. And I was like, well, 50 Shades of Grey is, you know, not good, but...
Everyone and their mother's reading that.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll throw out a couple more then. Obviously, we did a whole episode about, like, classic fiction, so I'm not going to go through all of those, but a lot of the books that I read are, like, I guess, quote-unquote classics. I like a lot of that. Cloud Atlas is one of my favorite books. Kyle, were we talking about this the other day?
Yeah, we were literally just talking about it yesterday.
We were talking about it yesterday, and the movie is fantastic, and the book is, like, even better. I love that book. Atonement by Ian McEwan, and basically anything that Ian McEwan has written is Atonement was a film as well. Everything's a film with Keira Knightley in it, which was also really good. So if people want to check that out and then maybe try the book. And a couple other authors I would definitely recommend, Smith and Margaret Atwood as well. Margaret Atwood writes a lot of, like, dystopian sort of sci-fi adult stuff. So if you're into that, maybe check her out. And Agatha Christie. I friggin' love Agatha Christie. She's amazing. Like, I love mystery books, and Agatha Christie is, like, the queen of mystery. So
is it weird that I haven't read a single, like, Agatha Christie book?
Are
those mystery
novels? Like, mystery? Yeah, she writes, like, her two main detectives. She writes detective novels. So the two main ones that she has are Poirot and Miss Marple. And Poirot is, like, a little Belgian detective who's, like, hysterical. And Miss Marple is, like, this little old lady that solves crimes. And they're both great. They're really short as well. So if anyone wanted to check them out, you can always find them at secondhand bookstores for, like, $2. It's not an investment.
I discovered through Casual Vacancy that I'm not a fan of mystery novels, I think.
Well, these are a lot less drawn out than... And Casual Vacancy is, like...
It's not a mystery novel.
Not a mystery. Do you mean
that's a detective novel, right?
Do you mean the other one?
Not Cuckoo's Calling is exactly what I was trying to say. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, sorry, guys.
What are you talking about?
No.
Yeah, like, Cuckoo's Calling is, it's a detective novel, but it's based on kind of the formula that Agatha Christie developed and made, like, very popular. And those books are literally, like, 100 pages, like, 200 pages
long. It's really
long,
weird, because, so... like, I love Castle. So, like, I'd watch Castle, because it's, like a mystery, like, detective, like, figuring things out show. But, like, reading it, for some reason, not my cup of tea.
It's not for everyone.
No, and I think it also has to be, I think the reason you might like Castle is also because it's kind of sassy, and it's not, like, a straight-up detective novel on you know, on the screen. It's really funny, and it's infused with a lot of humor, so that might be why it's different for you than when you sit down to read a detective novel. Because not
a lot of detective novels are like filled with humor.
Also,
you know what I mean?
When it's not typical. When you sit down and read a detective novel, it doesn't have Nathan Fillion in it. So that's also a downside.
This is very accurate.
Yeah. You see?
Okay, so what part are we at again? I'm sorry, I keep getting cut out.
Oh, that's great. So I was just talking about some of my favorite adult authors. Karen has already talked about Dan Brown. Boo, Dan Brown.
Oh, no.
Does anyone have anyone else they want to add in there?
Okay, well, I'll try to talk about mine if I don't get cut off this time. We'll see how it goes. So, as I said, I really love Deanna Reburn. If you guys like semi-historical fiction, she's definitely the way to go. She has sassy characters. She has amazing mysteries. Kyle, you'd like them because lots of people die and you never know who the killer is until the very end. It's fantastic.
Yay.
Yeah, like you seriously, you have no idea as you're reading through it. Love it. Love, love, love her novels. And everyone I've always suggested them to has always really enjoyed them as well, so give them a shot. I like really light, easy reads too. Jill Shalvis is, I guess she's a romance writer. She writes some mysteries as well. And she writes a series called Lucky Harbor. And it is totally this, like, cheesetastic romance series in a way. Like, you get to meet the people of this small town, and there are, like, mini romances in each novel. But my favorite part about reading her books is to have the same cast of characters kind of repeat themselves that live in this small, quirky town, because they're all very quirky. And there's, like, this older set of folks that live in the town, and they're called the Blue-Haired Posse, because they're very, like, matchmaking grandmamas, but, like, they're just really funny and entertaining, and that's why I really enjoy the series, because you have these secondary characters that keep popping up and that they just make you laugh constantly. Like this little old lady who's discovered that you have the Facebook, and that's what she calls it, the Facebook, and that you can like post things on there. So they have like a town page, and she posts like everyone's rumor, like everyone's gossip on the town page, and like she's just really funny and entertaining, and I really enjoy like something that's funny and entertaining and light. Because oftentimes I find I read a lot of like darker, heavier books. So it's kind of nice to have something kind of light and fun and frivolous to read that you don't really have to like pay too much attention to. You know, the story's there. It's not hard to figure out. It's just nice and funny. And it's fun to laugh while you're reading. So I really like her as an author. I also like Tasha Alexander, who is along the lines of Deanna Reburn, writes really kind of cool mystery stories. Those that are just really enjoyable. I like mysteries and like psychological thrillers. Those are the kind of books that I really like to read. I don't know. Those are the things that interest me. And then C.S. Harris is another one who writes the Sebastian St. Cyr mysteries. Those are also really, really good. And both the Tasha Alexander and the C.S. Harris books are set in late 1800s. So I have a thing for the late 1800s and mystery novels. I don't know what it is. It's just my thing.
Oh, cool. Going back to your fun and light kind of things, I've got another suggestion. An Australian author, Maggie Alderson, and she writes like they're chick lit. You know, it's like it's always kind of like those books that you said you were sick of, Jen. There's like 20 or 30 something women, but she used to be a fashion editor. And so her books are just so fun because they're always set, even if they're not set in like the fashion world, they just, the descriptions of the clothes and everything are like so cool and they're really funny. And yeah, I would recommend them for sure. They're all like standalone books. So, you know, they're basically the same thing happens in each one, but that's fine. For a kind of indulgent read, I quite enjoy those as well.
Yeah, as long as they're smart and witty. I just hate the ones that are so like, oh, poor me, I've yet to find a husband. Kind of what, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I kind of get like, eh.
No, she's like a very clever writer, and they're very sassy. They're very funny.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, she's really smart. She used to be a magazine editor, so like she knows what's going on.
Exactly.
And, yeah, they're always like these dysfunctional families and stuff. Like the last one I read, there was a family with like, she was the daughter, and then she had like 14 like step siblings and like half siblings because the dad had been married like 7 times or or whatever, and you know, chaos ensued. So that was fun.
Yeah, and actually that reminds me, there's another book I read called The First Assistant, and it's written by Lizzie Millers and Claire. Oh no, I'm sorry, it's a Lizzie Millers story. It's written by Claire Naylor and Mimi Hare, and one of them used to work as an assistant in Hollywood. So as you're reading this story about this girl who is like the first assistant, it's kind of a little bit like The Devil Wears Prada in a sense, but it's set in LA. So they start to describe these so much better.
Oh,
they
good.
Start to describe these like various actresses that will come into the office, and like it's just really, really funny. And as you're reading it, you're like, these things cannot be real. But then you like pause for a second, you're like, but wait, this is LA that the story is set in, and it's Hollywood, and anything could be real. And so it just, it's really funny to read. Like they're really enjoyable as well. And it's, so The First Assistant, A Continuing Tale from Behind the Hollywood Curtain. And I really, really enjoyed those books as well. So those are just something light and fun that, like, I like something that's got a lot of sass to it. That's just really enjoyable. You know, something that's going to make you laugh. That's what I look for sometimes in adult books that are, you know, because YA humor isn't always as funny as we want it to be, or as, you know, appropriate for our age as we want it to be. So I guess that's why I read adult books a lot of the times, too, is to kind of get some adult humor in there and enjoy it.
Adult humor is always the best.
We're not talking about the same kind of adult humor,
oh.
Kyle.
Oh. Dang it.
Yeah, Kyle.
Are we back to 50 Shades of Grey again?
No. That's not humorous at all. That's abuse.
Yes. Accurate. Haven't read it, but I believe you. Okay, did anyone else have anything fiction?
No, I'm all set to talk about those nonfiction.
Yeah, I guess your list is huge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right?
Oh, so I totally agree with your list, though, Kyle.
Right? Oh, my goodness.
The one thing on it. Yeah, oh, yeah. I recently read this. So good.
Oh, it's fantastic.
All right, yeah. Well, like, let's say what it is.
Okay, well,
go for
so it. For my one of my favorite nonfiction books, and I think it actually legitimately might be my only favorite nonfiction book, is Tina Fey's autobiographies. What is it called? Sassy Pants? Sassy Pants.
It's the best cover ever.
Bossy Pants is the best cover. It's the best novel, autobiography, because it's Tina Fey just explains how she got into SNL and how her career has kind of like gotten started, and throughout the entire time she's like making fun of herself and making jokes, and on the back where you'd expect to see like a bunch of reviews from like other authors or newspapers, like she's written her own reviews from like trees and like her mother, and it's the best.
It's so funny. I definitely agree.
I picked it up, and like if you pick this up and you look at the back of the book, it like instantly makes you just want to read the entire thing because it's hysterical.
Oh, I have it on Kindle. I'm so sad now. I haven't experienced like that cover.
Oh, it's the best.
I wonder if it's included. Maybe it's included in my Kindle version. I just never noticed.
Be. Sometimes they do that stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna do some research. Well, I totally agree. I read, I suppose now talking about nonfiction, I mainly read like biography and autobiography. I read a lot of nonfiction, but I really love autobiographies. I suppose, let me think. Oh, another one that is really good is Stephen Fry's autobiography. And he's written a couple, actually. But The Fry Chronicles is the one I like the most because he's really, really funny. And he's had a really interesting life, which is cool. What else? Oh, there's The Inklings is another one, which is about Tolkien. Obviously, he wrote Lord of the Rings, and C.S. Lewis, who wrote Chronicles of Narnia, and they were like friends, and it's about their friendship, which is like really interesting, and how they sort of influenced each other. What other like book related? There's one by the first showrunner of Doctor Who, of the reboot, Russell T. Davies. He did this one with a journalist called The Writer's Journey, which was about him writing the season with Catherine Tate, and basically it's like all of their email correspondence back and forth as he's writing it, and his thought process, and as it's getting made, and as he's writing and stuff, and it's so interesting. I would definitely recommend people check that out. But it's really long though, so you know, you might not want to go through the whole thing. I thought it was so fascinating, so I read the whole thing. But I think like I definitely look for humor in an autobiography generally, and like, yeah, that was really funny as well. I don't know. Does anyone else read that, or is that just me being a huge nerd?
No, see, I would read some of those because they actually sound really good. For nonfiction, because I don't read a ton of it, but when I do, I'm fascinated by nonfiction that is like psychological, and I think it's partly to do with like what I do for a job and what I'm currently studying. So, but I love figuring out why people do the things that they do. Like, those are the kind of like nonfiction books that I'll read. So, like, this is going to sound terrible, like books about serial killers or like things like that, they fascinate me because why does somebody do what they do? So those kinds of things are what I find really, really interesting, or like unsolved mysteries, things like that. I find incredibly interesting. And those are the things that I read, or conspiracy theory ones too. Some of those are interesting and some of them are just a little crazy. So, it depends on what the source is for the conspiracy theory, but like things like that, I find really interesting. And I, definitely like to read those because it's always like this, like, how does someone decide if someone's telling the truth or not, or what behavior drives someone to do the act of violence or whatever it was that they did? So those are the kinds of things that I read about in nonfiction.
But yeah, that actually does sound really interesting, although kind of depressing at the same time.
It can be, but like, so that's why I don't like read literary books. Like, so if I want an adult book, I go for nonfiction. That's like, you know what I mean? That's where my depression books come in rather than in just the fiction aspect of it. I guess that's my trade up.
Yeah, that makes sense. Karen, what about you?
I will read pretty much anything about World War II. I have tons of books from, you know, just kind of like documenting it. And I also have a bunch of books from people who had been in concentration camps and have written like firsthand accounts. I always find those really fascinating. Yeah, definitely not anything to make you happy, but they're really interesting. And I studied that a lot in school. So that's always kind of been a big thing for me. Anything to do with mythology, especially Greek mythology, I have a million books on mythology here. Astronomy and space travel have always really interested me. And I was an art history student, so I have tons of books on art history, especially the Renaissance and Greek art. Those are my two big ones. And also, to get a little bit more specific, because like for those, you can pretty much pick up anything and it's fine. You know, I don't have like an author that I always go buy their books about these sort of things, but Bill Bryson is one that I like a lot. He wrote this book called A Walk in the Woods, and it's basically about him going on the Appalachian Trail. And it's really funny because he wasn't entirely prepared for having to do this, but it was the first nonfiction book that actually made me laugh. And I had to read it for school, and I ended up keeping the book because it was that good. And I'd really like to read some other things by him. He has another one called The Mother Tongue, which I haven't read, but I really want to pick that up because he writes a lot about travel, but also about language and stuff like that. And so he's definitely one that I would recommend.
I love Bill Bryson. I would definitely second that.
Didn't he write Tales of a Sunburnt Nation? Isn't that one about Australia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's traveled everywhere. But yeah. The one of his I actually like the best is A Short History of Nearly Everything, which is more of a sciencey book. And it's, again, it's like really, really funny. And it's kind of sneaky because you learn all these things, but you don't realize because you're too busy like laughing at him. And he's a really great author. And yeah. I actually read a lot of like travel log kind of books, I suppose, because I'm very interested in people. So that kind of goes with my whole like autobiography, biography. So I like reading, there's this one called Almost French, which is about a woman who's a journalist, and she, like, meets this French guy and at, like, a party, basically, and she's Australian. And he's like, oh, if you're ever in France, like, come and stay. And so she goes and stays with him for, like, 2 weeks, and that turns into, like, the rest of her life, and they get married, and, you know, she moves to France, and she has to learn the language and, like, you know, get a job and navigate that, etc. And you know, things like that are really fascinating to me, so I definitely read a lot of that as well. And like Karen, I also read a lot of like historical fiction, although I tend to stay away from World War II. But if people are interested in that, a really good author is Christopher Hibbert, who writes like very concise kind of histories of things. Like he wrote a book about the French Revolution, which sounds really boring, I know, but it's actually really interesting. And it's like, it's easy to read. He kind of writes it like a novel, but it's actually true, unlike Dan Brown. So, you know, that's that's like a good place to start. I mean, I'll basically read anything nonfiction. I read lots of science books. I read like fashion books. I read yeah, like art history, anything that like looks interesting. I'm just a really nerdy person. What can I say?
I think that applies to all of us, though. Like, we all are kind of nerdy. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we really wouldn't be here, would we?
Okay. So, did anyone else have anything nonfiction-y?
No.
We have a lot of listener feedback. If we want to read some of these,
heck yeah.
We asked what you guys read when you're not reading YA.
Joanna says she reads adult fiction or middle grade fiction when she's not reading young adult. And does Percy Jackson count as middle grade fiction?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's shelved in young adult. It's weird. It has that crossover where it started as middle grade fiction and then worked its way into young adult. I don't know. It's an odd one. Weird.
I know because in my Barnes & Noble.
It's in the kids section, right?
Yeah.
Is it? Same. It's so weird when I have to walk there.
I have definitely seen it in like the young adult section here, but young adult is usually right next to like they never say middle grade. They just have like teen readers and like kids books, and it's all kind of mixed together. Because I've definitely seen it in like
in my Barnes and Noble definition. Like, the kids section has its own section, and I always feel really weird walking in there. Like, oh, I'm gonna go get the newest Percy Jackson book, and I have to walk in with like all the little kids' toys there's like 4 year olds hanging around, and like. Dude, get out of my way. I need my Percy Jackson book.
Oh, man. For Kyle, it must be, like, even worse, because, Kyle, I know you, half the time, you just go and, like, read books in the bookstore. So, you'd be, like, just in there, just, like, reading Percy Jackson.
I remember one time, like, I went in there, and I legitimately saw a book I liked near the Percy Jackson area. I forgot what book it was, but I sat down in the kids section for like 5 seconds and I was like, wait, no, this is not a good place to read this book. So I went to the coffee shop.
Okay, well, I'll read this next one. This is good because there's a bit more diversity in here. So this is from Captain Beck, who says manga and middle grade, the occasional adult fantasy. So we didn't really talk about that. No one really reads like graphic novels or anything.
I used to as a kid, like the Gravitation manga novels were the best, and Death Note. I mean, clearly, Death Note's the best.
But it sounds like something.
Let me just inform you guys about Death Note. It is about this notebook. It's called the Death Note, and when you write someone's name in it, they die. And it's the best.
Nobody give Kyle a notebook. Nobody.
That's like a literal burn book.
It's great. Yeah, there's a GIF on Tumblr of someone like writing like Justin Bieber in hearts, and then they close the cover. It turns out to be the Death Note. It was like it's the best thing.
Well, that's hilarious.
Yeah,
I do like some. I guess I read comic books, but like I have to specifically go and get them. I don't like go and browse. Like I read the X-Men series that Joss Whedon did. And obviously, like, Watchmen and V for Vendetta, things like that, which are basically just, like, dystopian. So that's cool.
I've read a couple of graphic novels, like Mouse, the first and the second one, and Percy Jackson books. They actually do those in graphic novels. And I think I have the first two. And those are just kind of cool because you already know the story, but it's neat to just kind of see, like, the art and stuff, too.
Yeah, I actually have like 4 of Jane Austen's books in like graphic novel form, which are really cool. I've just like randomly found them. So I like the adaptions when they like transfer it over. I know they do it for like quite a lot of young adult books get those actually.
There's also a Charmed comic book. And yes.
Have you read all of those?
No, I just found out about it like this week and I'm like, I must find
them. I did not know that.
Yes. Right?
Well, Kyle's like the number one Charmed fan in the world. So.
No.
Excuse me.
Number two. I'm number one.
Okay.
Wow, Karen is ready to throw.
We will fight about this later.
Maybe on the next book hype, we'll have to have a trivia challenge to see which one of you is the biggest Charmed fan.
Oh, hey,
we'll have a little throwdown.
Oh, I'm down.
What about is there a Charmed category on QuizUp?
No.
Have you played each other?
I wish.
Oh, that would be so amazing.
Right?
That would be the definitive like answer.
Yeah, it would be.
Seeing as everyone on Hyperball is like on that app right now.
Yes.
Okay. What else have we got?
Let's see. Pablo Ruiz says some more young adult fiction and then some detective novels, of course. See, I'm down with the detective novels. I agree. What are your favorite, Pablo? Tell us. I can't wait to hear. Oh, and then Kristen, who is on Onceable with us and writes for Hypeable, says that she's a big fan of fun adult reads like the Stephanie Plum books, and she likes to throw in a good mystery novel now and again.
I am surprised no one talked about those books, actually. I mean, I don't read them, but I know they're, like, super popular.
Janet Ivanovich?
Yeah,
there's
I don't
like
know.
20 of them in one series.
Right. I really enjoy the titles of them. I've never read one of them, but I like how they're always, like, puns on numbers.
Yeah. They're really fun. I mean, they are. I haven't read all of them. I've read a couple of them, and they're enjoyable. She starts off as a bail bondswoman with basically no bail bondswoman skills. So, you know, I love it when you throw a heroine into a scenario which she does not belong and she has to make do. So it's pretty entertaining, I have to admit.
Yeah, that's fun. Okay, and the last one is from Gertrude. I don't know how you say your name. I apologize. too many consonants. Gertrude. I'm just making it worse.
Gertrude.
Yeah, who says classics like Jane Austen or non-YA fantasy like Lord of the Rings and Name of the Wind, which I can totally get behind all of those suggestions.
Merrima, did you tweet in and make up a fake Twitter name for that one?
Yeah, I did. I was like,
that was you, wasn't it?
That was me. That was me.
You can't even pronounce your own name.
My own fake name, yeah.
We're going to have to work on that.
Yeah.
So
that pretty much wraps up this episode of Book Hype. As a reminder, Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children will be our next book club book read, which will be coming up shortly. But next week, we are going to have an episode that's all about gift giving for the book lover in your life, or, you know, gifts you want to buy yourself or what have you. Because I buy gifts for myself all the time. I don't know about you guys. So that'll be next week's episode, and we can't wait to hear your feedback. Feel free to leave comments about gifts that you guys would love as book readers, and maybe we will read them at the end of the show. So thank you guys for listening. I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Arma.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.